All right. Well, praise God for this opportunity. I'm so excited to be with you today. So excited to have this opportunity to share with you as we continue our series called Vineyard Values. Vineyard Values. These are the values. We're reviewing the values of our church and our church movement. Many of us have values. We have things that we were taught as children and passed down along the generations from our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, some values and traditions that have been passed down that we hold on to and pass on to our kids just because they were passed down to us. Is that always the wisest thing? I don't know, right? Because some of us have some practices that need to stop. Some of us need to chill on some of that stuff. Tradition is not always necessary in every aspect. But some of us completely reject the values and traditions of our forefathers. Some of us go the complete opposite way. I know that, my family, I grew up in a family that loves to eat, and we love to eat. But one of the things that my family loves to eat is meat, and especially pork, and pork at every meal, at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner. I mean, I go back to Baltimore with my daughter, and my mama know that I don't eat no pork. I'm stopping that tradition right now. And she is like, oh, a little bacon not going to hurt little Gracie over there. She need to have some, she need to grow up big and strong. I'm like, no. No, because I've witnessed for myself the health damage that has been done along the lines of my family and all of the problems that people have encountered throughout our history. And I'm like, let's put a stop to this right now. Let's care about our health and let's focus on something different. Now, that might be different for you and your family, but that's what we're doing in my family. Matter of fact, my brother is the same way, but he went far to the other extreme. His family is vegan. Like, good God, how you do that, brother? You eating avocados and lettuce all the time. Don't that do something to your stomach, rumbling all the time? I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I need a piece of chicken every now and then. I know, stereotypical, but I need a piece of chicken. Anyway. Values. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to get to. We all have values even if we can't articulate them. We have values because, watch this, what you do and how you act and how you respond is a reflection of the values that you have deep down inside. You see, Jesus, one of the times he said, don't worry about what's on the outside. Worry about what's on the inside and coming out. That's what defines a human. Yeah. So values are valuable. They tell us about our future. They actually guide us and direct us. They tell us where we're going. They undergird every decision that we make, whether our values have been passed down to us from the generations or we just made them up last night. They inform us. Vineyard churches are unified by five distinct values. And that's what this series is all about. We are picking those values apart. We are identifying our values because our values define us. Our values give us identity. Our values let everybody know what direction we're going in. And if you want to be a part of this community of faith, this is what we're all about. And so last week we kicked it off with a sermon on partnering with the Holy Spirit, right? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We partner with the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us and gives us the ability to do anything and all the things that we can do. Another value is experiencing and worshiping God. We're going to talk about that next week. There's also engage in compassionate ministry. That one of the founder of the Vineyard movement, John Wimber, he says, listen, if you are not caring for the poor, take the name Vineyard off of your church. Because you don't look like Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that I specifically came to bring good news to the poor. And if you're not following Jesus, close your doors. That's not my sermon. Let me get back. There's some other ones up there. Pursue culturally relevant mission in the world. And the one we're going to focus on today, reconciling people with God and all creation. Let me read to you what the Vineyard actually has to say about that. This is from the National Vineyard website. It says, Jesus is reconciling humans to God, to each other, and to the entire creation, breaking down divisions between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. Therefore, we are committed to becoming healing communities, engage in the work of reconciliation wherever sin and evil hold sway. We seek to be diverse communities of hope that realize the power of the cross to reconcile what has been separated by sin. I want to be a part of a church movement like this. To reconcile means to restore relationship, to bring two or more opposing parties back together in unity and in love. We aim here as a Mercy Vineyard Church to be a diverse, Christ-centered community of love, hope, and reconciliation. We want to be a church that is unified and not divided. We want to be that church that is for all people, not just one type of person. Because we find in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that God is calling a church that is multi-ethnic, that is multicultural. He says that one day there will be a worship experience where we will all gather together, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every culture, no matter your background, no matter who your mama was and who your daddy was, we're going to all come together one day worshiping one God in one voice, singing one song. And why not practice that right here, right now? Look how diverse this group of people is. I love it, y'all. I love it. Thank you all for being here. But today we're going to look at this Vineyard value through the lens of the Apostle Paul. So if you have your Bibles with you or your mobile device, would you turn it on or open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll start in verse 15 and read through 19. I'll be reading from the New International Version, the NIV. It reads, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Holy Spirit, would you come and have your way? Would you break some of us free today? Those things that are weighing heavy on our hearts, that relationship, that destructive relationship, God, those things that are not like you, would you help us and free us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the subject matter, obviously this is not going to be one of them funny, jokey sermons. And you might not shout, but if you do, praise God. If you agree with it, just say amen. That's all. You can jump up and you can run around, run a lap if you want. We're not going to hate on you. Have you ever lost your balance? Have you ever tried to put your shoes on in the morning without sitting down? Maybe y'all too young. Maybe I'm talking to the 40 and over crowd. I refuse to sit down because I refuse to accept that I can't put my shoes on while I'm standing up. I'm sitting there stumbling at everything. Every morning I do the same thing over and over. I think somebody defined that as insanity. But they weren't talking about me, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever had to sit down to put your pants on or to take them off? You see, I am at a stage in my life where I'm trying so hard to reject the fact that I am aging. I am trying so hard to deny that I need to work on my balance. You see, I know what I need. I'm just avoiding it. I really know what I need. I need to work on my core. You see, because when you work on your core is what holds everything up. Your core is what gives you balance, right? It's in here in your back. I need to work on those muscles so that I can be better at balance. We all need balance in our lives. And when I read this passage of Scripture from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it brings to mind this idea that we need to strengthen our core values. That we as a church need to know who we are and where we are going by revisiting our vineyard values. Who are we? Not who everybody else wants us to be. We need to take control of that car and not listen to what anybody else is trying to say. This is our house and our family. Follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So these five values we're reviewing tell you who we are. And I believe that when we strengthen those core values, which we need to do, they bring balance between our faith's orthodoxy and our orthopraxis. Orthodoxy is your belief, correct belief, orthodoxy. Orthopraxis is correct action. It's what you're doing with what you believe. Now, the Apostle Paul is repetitive in his attempt to draw our attention to this word reconciliation. He says it over and over again in this passage. He's drawing our attention to God reconciling us to him and reconciling us to each other. But he doesn't leave it there because he says, I'm also giving you the ministry of reconciliation. Thereby, it is not enough for us to just be reconciled with God and allow him to do the work of reconciling us to others. But it is our job to now step out and reconcile others to God and each other. That is our responsibility. It is our privilege. And as we engage in the ministry of reconciliation, God gives us three gifts in this passage of Scripture that will help us to be better reconcilers, which each and every one of us needs to be better at. Number one, he gives us a new mindset. Number two, he gives us a new mission. And number three, he gives us a new message. All here in the text. You see, in our current cultural context, maybe I'll bring some of this back around, orthodoxy and orthopraxis seem to be at odds with each other. Depending on what church you go to, maybe they are holier than thou. Their focus is on the vertical relationship that we just want to get butts in seats and get people to connect with God. We want to get you saved. Hallelujah. Yeah. Or you go to another location, branch of Zion, another church, and they're all about hitting these streets, all about getting out here and helping our fellow man, connecting with somebody, connecting with the nonprofit groups, and we need to be out here helping people out. Many of us have taken a side and have neglected the other. Many of us believe in one of those and not in the other. Many of us focus so much on soteriology that there is no room for anthropology, and vice versa. Let me say it a different way. Many of us are so focused on our vertical relationship that there's no room for the horizontal. Or maybe some of us are so focused on the horizontal relationships that we are no longer grounded in the vertical. God is inviting us to be holistic healers. If we give the majority of our time and our attention and energy to reconciling people with God, if we give our majority of our time to focusing on what God said and telling everybody else about what God said, if we focus on our righteousness and telling everybody about our self-righteousness, we become Pharisees. You know what Jesus said about the Pharisees. You're like your father, the devil. Mother Teresa said it like this. Sometimes you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But on the other extreme, we have people who are so focused, right? Overly consumed with justice and equality. Oh, I'm going to get a hate email now. We get some people who are so focused on the social issues that they lose sight of God's desire to connect human beings to himself. That he wants to be in a right relationship with every human being. When we do that, when we put all of our eggs in that basket, when we become only social justice minded, when we become only equality minded, we become just another nonprofit organization. A social organization, civic organization. And God has so much more for us than that. Both of these extremes stray away from the mission and the vision of Jesus the Christ. He brings balance to the center. Oh, God. I don't alienate everybody. Because if you're on one extreme or another, he says, you're not with me. You're foreign to me. I want you to be in right relationship. I want to call you into the messy middle. Yeah, the middle is where the mess is. Yeah, that's where it gets challenging in that middle. Because if you're not on the extreme over here, those folks going to talk about you. If you're on the extreme over here, then those folks going to talk about you. But if you're right here in the middle, both of them talking about you. But I know. They'd be like, did you hear Pastor Gary said this on there? I knew he was a liberal. Did you know Pastor Gary said this over there? I knew he was a conservative. I got people calling me every name in the book. Whatever. A follower of Jesus. You got beef with that? Take it up with my God. The middle is where the mess happens. The middle is where the Holy Spirit is nudging you to pray for somebody and then nudges you to go take them to the grocery store. The middle is, yes, I need to take time and spend time with my kids. I got these beautiful kids and oh, they take up so much of my time, but he's also calling you to serve. I stepped on some toes. The middle is messy. Jesus brings balance. He brings so much balance that he says that balance is when you worship God and serve people. He was asked one day, what's the greatest commandment? And how did he respond? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. And the Pharisees like, yeah, we knew it, yeah. And then he said, and love others as yourself. He never said, separate the two. If you're doing one out of balance from the other, you might be serving a false god. Mm-mm. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. It's an old school hip hop reference. I don't know if y'all know Ice Cube, but I'm not saying you need to go listen to him. I'm just saying. Let me move before I get in trouble. We are given three things in this passage of scripture that will help each one of us to become better at this game of reconciling. He gives us three things that if we apply them to our lives, actually we already have them if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You already have them. You just need to put them to use. The first thing is that we have a new perspective. We have a new perspective or a new mindset. Look at verse number 16. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Oh, my goodness. How many of y'all wear glasses or contact lenses? Glasses, contact lenses? Some of y'all are like, it's obvious, right? It's on my face. It's not obvious if you have contact lenses is what I'm trying to say. Right? Many of us have something in our eyes to change the way we see things. Because the natural way we see things is off. The worldly perspective is taking us in a direction that is destructive. You ever tried to drive without your glasses? I don't know what your vision looks like, but, you know, some of us are like, what? I'd be like, what? I don't want to ride with you. Not without your glasses. But he supernaturally gives us a new perspective, a new point of view when we are in Jesus Christ. Watch this. When you are in Jesus, your views should change. When you're in Jesus, you should move away from the extremes closer to the center with Jesus. If you're still far over on this side or far over there, check your relationship. You might not be on team Jesus. He had two people on his team like that. Oh, I'm about to run out of time. I'm still on point number one. Let me tell you this. He invited Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector to be on his squad. Simon the Zealot was out there like, he was like, man, forget the establishment. I want to do anything to destroy the establishment, the established government and all these folks up here oppressing my people. I'm going to take them out however any means necessary. And Jesus said, I want you on my team. You're going to be an apostle one day. And then on the other side over here, you had Matthew, who sold his people out to be a part of the establishment. He was a sellout. I'm not going there. He sold his own people out to be a part of the establishment, and he is joining Jesus' team. Jesus invites him, and he says, one day, I'm going to make you an apostle. Can you imagine the conversations these things people had at the Last Supper? I'm going to blow you up. Yeah, I'm going to get the army to kill you. But Jesus brings them all to the table because his goal and his mission is reconciliation. He gives us a new perspective, so we need to see things through Jesus' lenses. We need to see everybody like Jesus sees them. Watch this, because Jesus loves all people. He wants you to see people through those lenses. He sees potential in all people. So you need to see potential. Don't give up on that person just yet. They just need a little bit more time. God is not through with them yet. As long as they're still alive and breathing, God is still roping them in. Don't give up on them yet. He sees potential in people. He sees redemption in each one of us. We need to look through the same lenses. But number two, not only does he give us, worship team, I'm sorry. Just give me a couple more minutes, all right? I'll call you up here. He gives us, not only does he give us a new mindset, but he gives us a new mission. He gives us a new mission in verse number 18. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. My God. He gave us the ministry. What does the word ministry mean? The word ministry means to serve another. Right? You got people up here, ministers that drive the best car and got everything going on for them, the best shoes, better shoes than mine. And they called ministers, but I ain't seen them serve nobody. He said, the greatest among you is your servant. I ain't afraid to get my J's dirty. If you need help, I'm there for you. He said that you are a servant. And our mission, our goal, if our mission, our goal is to be reconcilers, then we should be serving one another. The more we serve one another, the more we have capacity for reconciliation. Guess what? Nobody wants to know about your God if they don't know that you care. How you going to reconcile somebody to God? Be like, Jesus told me to tell you that. Jesus ain't told you nothing. You got a bunch of lies out here. If you're not helping me, if you're not serving me. Let me get off of that fool. Therefore, we have this awesome privilege as followers of Jesus Christ to serve others, to help others wherever they are, to help everybody get one foot up, another foot up until they get to where God wants them to be. Third thing is this. Finally, Jesus not only gives us a new perspective, a new mission, he gives us a new message. What does that mean? Look at verse number 19. At the end of the verse, he says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So wait a minute, Jesus, what's the difference between the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation? It's real simple. That means that you no longer use words that are divisive. That means that your speech, your talk, your conversation can no longer deteriorate relationships. It means that you no longer demean other people. It means what he says in Romans chapter 1. Read it sometimes. He gives a list of sins that he hates, and gossip is one of them. Because when you tear other people down, when you talk about people behind their back and you don't want to talk to them in their face, I know that this is a cultural challenge, right? But if you're not willing to talk about somebody or talk to them in their face, you're not willing to reconcile, and therefore you no longer look like Jesus. Don't talk about me behind my back. Say it to my face. I ain't going to fight you. I mean, if it gets to that, but I'm saying, I'm sorry. Can you delete that from the recording? I'm sorry. I'm a hood dude from Baltimore. That's saved by the blood of Jesus. That's all I am. Listen, but if you're not willing to say the beef that you have with me to my face, you're not willing to be reconciled. That means if you're not willing to be reconciled, you're not willing to look like Jesus. Our speech should be positive. Our speech should change and be more like Jesus. Our speech should be uplifting. Our speech should be encouraging. Our speech should be a blessing. Our speech should be powerful. Our speech should be supportive. When was the last time you encouraged someone? Listen, I want this church to be the most encouraging church in the Twin Cities. I want every person that walks through those doors to get an encouraging word from somebody before they exit. Guess what? I'm giving you some homework. Before you leave today, meet somebody new and say something encouraging to them before you leave today, and watch God bless you because you bless them. Oh, man, y'all ain't ready for that stuff. God is good, man. All right. Let me run it down like this. And say that these things are not easy. I'm sorry, Jesse. I see you pointing at the clock. These things are not easy. Worship team, y'all can come on up. This is hard stuff. But when we offer our full selves to Jesus, he can do the miraculous. When we offer our weaknesses to Jesus, he can restore things through our weakness. When we offer our fears to Jesus, he can absolutely transform some relationships through our fears. He will do the impossible through our shortcomings, actually. He will bring joy to relationships that you never had before. He can bring peace with persons that refuse to agree with you. He can restore family relationships that have been broken for decades. For over two decades, I had a contentious relationship with my father, say the least. I didn't like the way he treated my mother. I didn't like the way he treated me on occasion. I didn't like that he, when I was getting closer to Jesus and building my relationship, he would not go to church, would not connect in any way, didn't want to hear about that kind of stuff, was resistant. So we butt heads a lot. And for 20 years, I refused to call him dad. For 20 years, our relationship was frayed. And my godfather, one day, actually one of his last days, he was on his deathbed. He's laying there and he says, "Come here, Gary." I said, "Yeah." "How's your relationship with your dad?" I said, "Man, it's all right, you know, getting it together, you know." I said, "No, which one of you is the Christian?" That stuck with me forever. And so I had to be the one, the offended, to make the first move. I had to come closer to my offender and attempt to restore the relationship. You know, I'm glad I did, because right around that time, my daughter was born. And we have a picture. That's you, Grace. He got to meet and hang out with his granddaughter for 2 years before God called him home. And I'm so glad that I gave him chance, that I got down from my Pharisee position and I took the step toward him, to love him, to come near to him, to hug him, to bring him his granddaughter, to restore the relationship. God has called everybody here to be reconcilers. Maybe you've built up a wall between you and whoever. Maybe you have refused to be in conversation with that person because they hurt you. God says, if you have been offended, I have called you to reconcile. Because one day, 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus came from heaven. He was incredibly offended by you and me, by our sin, by our rejection, by all the times we turned our back on him and tried to do things our way, by all the times we walked away from him. He was offended by us, and he still said, "I love you. I'm coming down to you. I'm reaching my arms out to you. Put your hand in his hand." I'm going to ask you to stand with me. You can take that picture down before I cry some more. Listen, I want to invite you to prayer. And I'm going to say this, that maybe you're here today and my story stirred up some feelings in you that you have not resolved. Maybe every time somebody brings something up like this, you feel the weight and the pressure of unforgiveness. I believe God wants to release you from some things today. That there is bondage in unforgiveness. There is bondage in not taking the moment, just taking a step toward reconciling. Maybe you've been abused and you said, I can't ever engage with that person again. What does God have to say about it? What is He impressing upon your heart right now? He's given you a new perspective to see things His way. He's given you a new mission to serve someone else who doesn't even deserve it. And He's given you a new message. Words that are unifying, no longer dividing. If you're here today and there's a relationship that is frayed in your life, I believe that God wants to empower you to take your first step to restoring that relationship. I'm going to invite you to come, and I want you to feel free that in this time, you can come and just sit on the front row and pray. You can come stand up at the front. Our prayer teams would love to spend a moment with you praying about whatever is going on in your life. This is your moment. And matter of fact, I believe that God is saying, I put the ball back in your court. What you going to do with it? It's your move. Do you want to experience healing or not? Do you want that weight lifted off of your soul or not? God loves you too much to see you suffer. Will you come? Worship team, please sing.